There's this man, I guess, in Madrid, Spain. And him and his son, Paco, had become estranged for many years. Didn't talk to each other. Don't know all the circumstances that surrounded why they didn't. But the father was anxious to talk to his son again. He searched for him everywhere. He could not find him. There's just no way he could find him. So he decided to go to this newspaper. And I'm going to turn this a little bit. Can you hear me okay? Okay. And he took out an ad in this newspaper. And it says, "I'm looking for my son Paco. And I just want you to know that I love you very much and that all is forgiven. And if you will, on this certain day and this certain time, meet me in front of this newspaper office, you know, I'll know." And so when the time came that day for him to meet his son, he met with quite a surprise because there were 800 Pacos that showed up to be forgiven and to find love. Isn't that amazing? 800. What does that say about our kids today? And, you know, we need dads that love their children who are willing to forgive them. You know, the prodigal son, though we look at it as being a message about the boy, it was more about the message about who the father was and what he did in spite of all the circumstances that surrounded him. And Jesus was telling them how much God loves us and what he wants for us, and he's willing to forgive us for anything if we'll just ask him. 1 John 1:9. Now that I've told you that neat little Father's Day story, I'm going to swap gears, because when Tom called me, he says, "You think you can pull one out and warm it up?" And we were in the process yesterday of helping my oldest daughter move. And I guess it was about middleways through, I saw this message on Facebook Messenger. It works, believe it or not. And Tom said, I need to ask a favor. Would you get back with me?" And he says, "I need you fill in. I'm sick. I can't do it." And so I wrote him back, said I'd be glad to. And then I called and talked with him for a few minutes. And then when I told him what I felt like, that, you know, was the hottest thing I had in my repertoire that I have preached most recently, a sermon that you've probably never have heard before. Okay? You've heard about it. You may have even used the word a few times in your vocabulary. But, and as I told my first church where I preached a message like this, you'll probably give me that when we leave church today. Y'all have seen the bulletin, right? How many have not seen the bulletin? Okay, so the surprise is now up for you. And in most churches, this right here, you know what this means? Not a thing. But I know that I have a time limit, a fair amount of time, but a time limit. And Tom heard me preach this message on Facebook. He said, That's a long message. But I'm going to cut right to the quick of what this message is about. So, have you found the place in Mark chapter 9? When you found it, say amen. Now, it's kind of like, any of y'all ever watched Duck Dynasty? Anybody in here ever watched Duck Dynasty? Just one. You've missed a treat. There's a guy on there called, what's his name? Mountain Man. And let me tell you, Mountain Man talks just like this. And he has a radio program. And you think he'll never get through whatever he's doing. He's even got a Christmas song, Christmas album. It is hilarious, okay? So if you don't want me to preach like that today, you just say amen a few times or say hot dog or something. I'll get hungry and we'll quit, okay? All right. Anyway, Mark chapter 9. You found the place. Look at verse 41. And these are, this is a very particular message that Jesus talked about. He says, and Jesus answered and said, you unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? Am I reading? Yes, I am. And put up with you. Bring your son here. Am I reading in the right place? I am not, am I? It would help if I was in the right book. You know what I did? I turned to Luke 9. See, don't say preachers don't ever make mistakes. Y'all got me nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs already. Here we go. Why didn't somebody say something? I heard you laughing. Like, he's crazy. All right. Whoever gives a cup of water to drink because... Am I there now? Yes. No? Oh, she said yes. Thumbs up. Gives a cup of water to drink because of your name as followers of Christ, truly I say unto you, he will not lose his reward. For whoever causes one of these little ones to believe and stumble, it were better for him that a heavy millstone be hung around his neck and be cast in the sea. And if your hand causes you to stumble, now pay attention, if your hand causes you to stumble, what does it say? What does it say? Thank you. Cut it off. For it's better you to enter into life with one hand than to enter into hell with both hands, where the fire is never quenched and the worm dieth not. Okay? And he says, and if your foot causes you to stumble, what? That's right. Say it with me now. And if your foot causes you to stumble, what? Cut it off. For it's better to you to enter into life lame than to having your 2 feet and be cast into hell. It says, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your eye causes you to stumble, what? Plug it out. It's better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes, than to be cast into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. And it goes on about salt. But I want you to think about hell. Any of you ever wondered about the place called hell? Do you believe that there is a place really called hell? Really? You know, in our society today, they'd just rather say we're going through hell here on earth. Or when problems pop up in your life, you know, we call it going through hell. Let me just give you a couple of little things here because I don't have much time. It says the lack of Bible reading certainly has led to the lack of Bible doctrine. These are some true facts. It says fewer than 47% say the Bible is 100% accurate in all it teaches. 51% says the Bible was written for each person to interpret as he or she chooses. 74% disagree with the idea that even the smallest sin deserves eternal damnation. 74%. 77% say people must contribute to their own effort for personal salvation. And 52% say that good deeds help them earn a spot in heaven. And 45% believe that there are many ways to get to heaven. Well, if you would read your Bible, and if you would take a time to study a little bit about what Jesus has to say, you'll find out that he talks about hell and that hell is a real place. Three words for hell. Are you with me? I don't want you to fall asleep because it's going to get hot and heavy here in a minute. And I'm an old style preacher. And if you go doze off on me, I'm going to wake you up in a way that you unexpect. The first word is an Old Testament word called Sheol. S-H-E-O-L. It's in the Old Testament. It is the place of the dead. It signifies the unseen state or the pit or oftentimes called the grave. In Isaiah 5 verse 14, it says, "Therefore hell hath enlarged and opened her mouth without measure." It talks about hell. Now, word in the New Testament is called Hades. The New Testament word here represents the realm of the dead. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, he says, "Then I say unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail." Luke 16:28 says, "For I've had five brethren," this is the rich man speaking to Abraham, send somebody to him that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." It's called hell. Then the final word is Gehenna. Refer to the lake of fire. And there's a lot that goes with that, and we may hit on that just for a moment. The story of a man, listen, true story, in the upper part of this state, working in a steel mill. He fell into a vat of steel, molten steel. Now you can only imagine what's taking place. He didn't die immediately. But as he began to be burned up in that steel, he cried out for somebody to tell him about Jesus Christ. I wonder why. Because he realized at that moment he was going to die. And without Jesus, where would he wind up at? Say it. Hell. That's right. He'd wind up in hell. There were a group of people, Christian people, that worked in that steel mill that stood around and watched him die. And I'm here to tell you, nobody told him about Jesus. And one of the men was so upset, he went to his pastor that week and began to talk to him. And his pastor asked him, "Why couldn't you tell him?" He says, "You're a Christian. You know how to tell people about Jesus." And he said, "Preacher," he said, "because of sin in my life, because of the things that I've done, the things that I've said, and the way I've represented myself," he said, "I couldn't open my mouth and say a word in front of all those people. And it was a crying shame. That man died and went to hell." Well, what do you need to know about hell then? Let me tell you. It's a real place. You talk about your trip to New Mexico coming up. And you're talking about witnessing to the Native Americans that are there. You need to understand that without Jesus Christ, if they die, what's their eternal destination? That's right. Do you want them to go to hell? You know what? All throughout my life, I've heard people tell people, "Go to hell." They don't have a clue what it is that they're saying when they say that. But hell is a real place. Jesus said, if you're angry with your brother without a reason and you call him a fool, you're in danger of hellfire. Luke chapter 12, verse 5 says, "But I will forewarn you, you shall fear him," who? God, which after he hath killed, hath the power to cast into hell. Yes, I say unto you, fear him. Hell's a real place. Hell is the destiny of those who rebel against God. Did you know that? It's a real place, and real people are going there. As a pastor, listen, I have witnessed to people and had the opportunity to talk to people who reject Jesus Christ when it came to say, would you like to give your heart to Jesus Christ and repent of your sin? And they would say no. And guess what? If they died that day, they would have entered into hell. And I still don't know to this day if they ever got saved. A young man named Daquan. When we were in New York, a Chinese man whom I loved dearly became good friends with him. And many times I would go into the restaurant there and I would sit with him. Do you know that he spoke better English than I did? He's the only guy I ever knew that had taken a dictionary and was writing the words down in definition. And he was halfway through the collegiate dictionary and he had piles of notebooks. But he always had questions. And I share with him about Jesus Christ. And one day he read to me out of the Chinese Bible. And he told me about, he read it to me from what your background is from. And he said it was, he read it, and when he said it's a gift only that the emperor could bestow upon a person. Am I right? When he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I think in the Chinese culture, if I remember it correctly, that he said to me, only an emperor could give life to someone who didn't deserve it. It was a gift that only could be bestowed. Let me tell you what. He wants you to miss out on hell. It's a real place. Do you know who hell was created for? Satan. Let me tell you. Satan was cast down from heaven in Isaiah chapter 14. It tells about how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How thou art cut down to the ground, which thou didst weaken the nations. So Satan, it was created for him. But not only for Satan, it was created for his angels. The false prophet and the beast. And if you read in the book of Revelation 19:20 and Revelation 20 verses 2 and 3 and then verse 10, you'll find out that hell was created for these people. But you know what? The Bible says, for the wages of sin, Romans, what? Remember? The book of Romans, for the wages of sin is death. Huh? And let me tell you what, hell was created for those who do not repent of their sin. You see, for the payoff for sin, Romans 6:23 says, is death. And when we say death, not just physical death, but we mean eternal death in a real hell that was created for Satan and was created for his angels, the false prophet, and the beast. Luke chapter 23, where we have where Luke records Jesus on the cross and the conversation that the criminals had with that day. In verse 39 it says, and one of the criminals who was hanging there railed at Jesus, hollered at him, was really mocking him, saying, aren't you the Christ? And if you are, what? Save yourself. But the guy on the right side of Jesus, the other criminal, remember, two criminals crucified with Jesus, but the other rebuked him, saying, don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? He said, and we rightly so, for we are getting what we deserve for what we did, but this man has done nothing. That thief that railed at Jesus rejected Christ that day, and when he died, he wound up where, folks? He wound up in hell. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, enter in the narrow gate. You know what the narrow gate is? It's the gate that leads into heaven. And that's found in Matthew 7, verse 12 through 14. He says, because wide is the gate and spacious that leads to destruction. That means to hell. But not only that, and there will be many. How many? Many. A vast majority that will find their way through it. But the gate is narrow, and the way is difficult that leads to life, and there'll be few that find it. You want me to say something to you today? When we served in New York, I used to get questioned all the time about how some of the Baptist conventions were saying that a certain percentage of people in a certain place were dying and going to hell. And these guys were really upset because Southern Baptists had said they thought that 47% of people who went to church were going to hell. Going to church. The only response that I could give them that day, I said, what did Jesus say? He didn't give us a percentage, but he told us, there are many who are going to destruction and there are few going to eternal life. And then I told those men that day, I said, I believe they missed it by a little bit because their mark was too low. I believe more people are going to enter into hell than you can imagine. And it's our job, church. It is our place that God has called us to reach out and to touch people's lives. We just read a moment ago, and I know my time's about gone. He said, how will we know, or what we need to know that keeps people from sensing the reality of hell? And I want to tell you what. Number one is because they never hear the message. How many today, this is your first time hearing a message on hell? I mean, you've heard messages preached like this on hell, everybody? So, okay, I'll take you at your word. Because it's not a very popular subject. But when they let self get in the way. 9:45, it said, if your foot causes you to sin, what? Cut it off. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. We need to get rid of those things out of our life. The keeps us for knowing the reality of hell. Now, I'm not saying you ought to go out and preach a message on hell, but I think that what you believe about hell and how you feel about people going there will make a difference in how you reach out and love people and preach when you tell them about Jesus Christ. The reality is that people, finally, when they wake up in hell, will know that hell is real. The rich man in Luke 16, you've probably heard that message before. The rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus died and went to Abraham's bosom. The rich man died, he went to hell. And the story, and the writer tells us here, Luke says, and this is a true story, because Jesus, when he uses names, you can believe that he's telling something that's real. This is not a parable, folks. And he said, the rich man, being in torments, looked up to Abraham, says, send Lazarus down here with a drop of water on his finger, so that he can quench my tongue, for I am in torments. Abraham says, I can't do it. Great gulf fixed between us. He can't go there, and you can't come here. Then he said, well, I have five brothers at home. Send him back to talk to my brothers. And he said, no, can't do that either. He says, well, send someone. He said, if they have the prophets, if they've got preachers and people to tell them about Jesus, then they have an opportunity to hear. But you know what? This was a rich man, had lots of money. And when people who die with lots of money, where does their money usually go to? Yeah, family, brothers. I guarantee you were scrambling for an inheritance from their brother that died. And Abraham said to them, if they won't repent, what makes you think they'll repent now? Because they were living the kind of life he was. Well, here's what I want you to understand. That if you spent 5 minutes in hell, what it would do for you. You say, you mean you want me to go to hell? No, I don't literally want you to go to hell. But it would be something that if you could dream or experience the reality of what hell is and why people are suffering there, it would change your life completely. It would help you know that hell is real, hell is eternal, and hell is a place of punishment for those who rebel against God. And it would help you know the value of the soul of the lost person. And what? The price that it cost God. His only son, Jesus Christ, died on Calvary. He shed his blood and rose again on the third day that you and I could have eternal life and miss out on this awful place. Do you love people? I mean, do you care about the people around you? Or do when you see people, you just kind of say, and move on? You know, people need to know about Jesus Christ when you do your mission trip coming up. And I know a lot of great things happened last year, and I've been excited about your trip this year. But I want to encourage you today to understand what's at stake when you go and do missions. Listen, when I was in New York, there were a lot of lost people. And I seen a bunch of young people, a lot of young people. We had about 125 young people attending our youth night on Tuesday night. And about half of that group came to know Jesus Christ as their Lord. I can't answer the question about the rest that didn't. You know, they're out there wandering, and if they're still alive, they still have a chance. But if they don't, listen, people need to know that God loves them. People need to know that God doesn't want them to go to hell, because that's why He sent Jesus Christ for us today. That's why we're here. And that we need to be on mission, sharing that good news about God's love and eternity. And I want to remind you just one more thing. It's not your responsibility to save people. It's God's responsibility to save them. But it is our responsibility to plant those seeds, to sow those seeds, to tell people about Jesus Christ and show them the love of God. Then if they reject God, then the blood's on their hand. But you did your part, and I want to encourage you today. There is no price too high for a soul. What are you going to do? Where do you stand today? I hope that you will tell others about Jesus and how to miss out on that awful place called hell that's real. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to come and share. And I thank you for this church, Lord, that loves you, cares about you. And I pray for their pastor, Tom, and I pray for the Chinese church across, Lord. I pray for every aspect that as they reach out in their community and as they reach out across this country and as they reach out across this world, that they will share the good news of Jesus Christ. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.